just to sum up, Rabban Yair had a very interesting idea with regard to the Vatom B'datecha. And it results in a unique translation of the B'datecha. In other words, it means God's idea of us. So it's not referring to the judges and their understanding and their knowledge of the Mishpatei HaTorah and how to judge properly, which is what seems to be the conventional way to approach it, but rather with regard to God's relationship to us, which also is described as a form of yediyah. As I said, ki yedatev. That's what Hashem says before He reveals to Avram about Sodom and Gomorrah. Ki yedatev, with yediyah, which means to recognize Him. I recognize Him. To favor Him, to protect Him. So it's a certain kind of a recognition. And that is the Tohim. The Tohim are those who are with regard to God's recognition of us. That is, in the course of the lengthy exile and the sufferings that the Jews undergo, so people say, where's Ayei Elokecha? Where's your God? Indeed, this is a very, very big challenge that have led many people to come to that false conclusion. It's a very complicated subject. It's very hard to give an answer. That is the length of the exile, the suffering of the Jews, the degradation, culminating, of course, in the Holocaust, is a very, very difficult thing. Quite aside, everybody focuses on the humane, the situation of the suffering and the degradation per se, which of course is a terrible, terrible thing. But in the bigger picture, after all is said and done, how does that jive with our claim to be God's chosen people? You have a Seder, you read about the Haggadah, that they were slaves, but then God intervened and God removed them and took them and established them as His people, and so on. So that's a big thing, Ayei Elokecha. How do you explain this? How could such a thing happen? It's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. There are answers, of course, but the answers are very, very difficult. I don't mean to say that the answers are difficult in the sense that they don't make any sense. I don't mean it that way. I mean they're difficult because people are not on the level to really understand the answers. And especially to really go into the issues, the underlying causes, in terms of the defects of the Jewish people and how they observe Judaism and so on and so forth, I don't know that we're even capable at this point in time to... Because the very people, they'd have to be... Who would be making these investigations? Who would they be investigating? That's the difficulty. Everybody comes up with accusations against others. The non-religious Jews, the modern Jews, this Jews, the Zionists, whatever you want to say, but it's always about somebody else. To look in to ourselves and to find significant flaws, and perhaps flaws in terms of our religious understanding, our religious behavior, I don't know that it's even doable at this point in time. So it's very, very difficult. If that's the case, then you don't have any access to the arena in which certain answers might lie. It's not even a search for answers. The truth is, it's a search for improvement. So you're in a position where if somebody hurdles that at you, I guess nobody really does that so much. But if people are to really challenge you on that, it's very hard. Yeah, you'll say it's God's punishment. But when you say it that way, you're just saying a theological doctrine, that God is part of our Torah, that when we sin, God punishes. But you know what kind of sins were done to warrant that kind of a punishment? This becomes very, very difficult. So I mean, according to Rabban Yonah, I mean, he's talking back in the Middle Ages, basically. That even then, well, it was very serious. I don't mean to. It's not just the Holocaust. The Holocaust overshadows everything else because they're simply unimaginable. But the Jews were persecuted very seriously throughout history. So that leads people to be toim, to make a mistake concerning God's yediyah, God's recognition of us. You know, our claim that we're the chosen people, that God protects us. So that's what we're praying for, that people should recognize the Mishpatei Hashem. Okay, so now we're going further. Layet ala abaya, aman dematzli havinenu. This is a very difficult, that is to say, abaya would literally curse those who would say havinenu. Really the question is, Rashi says, Layet ala abaya, lefishim adalek abrachos, v'cholalon v'bracha achas. Because he skipped the brachos and would just mention them all, gather them together in one bracha. What's difficult about this is, where's he coming from? I mean, you just had the Mishnah, you had three positions. Now, Rabbi Gamaliel maintains that b'chol yom v'yom a person daven shmona esrei. And the other two positions say that you're permitted to be makatzer. You have two Tanayim in the Mishnah. One of them, Rabbi Yeshua, for example, is very lenient. He says, "V'chol yom v'yom, me'ein yitches." Rabbi Yeshua, me'ein yitches. So Rabbi Yeshua, and we said, though, according to the Miri, he says, if there's any kind, he needs a slight kind of a tirda. Okay, fine. Then you have Rabbi Akiva, and we paskin like him, who says him shkur b'fiv. If not, not. Who's Abaya? Where's Abaya coming to the picture? This something missing. This detail that's missing from his statement. He would disparage people who davened havinenu when? Under what circumstances? Ever? And why? So Tosa says, Layet ala abaya man demasla havinenu v'hachi kaimelon. He says, and that's how we paskin. So apparently Tosa agrees with him. Although we're not sure does that mean never? Then it says, v'yesh svarim demasik. And there are svarim that conclude, hani mili b'masa. That Abaya was liet, that he disparaged it. B'masa means in the town. Avol b'derech shari. K'demashma b'mechilton. Gavi Reb Yossi. So, the first position of Tosa seems to take it literally, as a general rule. You don't say havinenu. Then he says there are those who maintained that applied only b'masa, when you were in the town. So in that situation, you could have focused and concentrated and davened properly. But when you're baderach and you're distracted, so then it's all right. But that's the second shot. We're continuing in the Gemara for the time being. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Kol Hashana Kula Mispalel Adam Havinenu. Chutz Mimotzei Shabbos. But now Shmuel is saying that Kol Hashana Kula Mispalel Adam Havinenu. But that seems to be contrary to Abaya. Although that's not the point of the statement. The point is to show you when you can't say Havinenu. So he says, Kol Hashana Kula Mispalel Adam Havinenu. All year long a person can daven Havinenu. Chutz Mimotzei Shabbat, except Motzoi Shabbat, Umi Motzoi Yom Tovim. And Motzoi Yom Tovim, Nei, Shetzarech Lomer Havdalah B'chonen Hadas. Because he has to say Havdalah in Chonen Hadas. What emerges from Shmuel, we'll take up the issue of Havdalah and all of that. But what emerges is, you could see from his statement that he has no problem with the recitation of Havinenu. Does not seem to agree with Abaya. Now, all year long. Well, whether that means with like Rabbi Yeshua, the more lenient position, or whether it means like Rabbi Akiva, who says only if he can't concentrate, we don't know. But that's not. I don't know if that's his point. His point is that it's feasible. That is, it's available. That's what he's really saying. The tefillah of Havinenu was available for use all year long. But it's not available on Motzai Shabbat and Motzai Yom Tov, because he has to say Havdalah. Maskef lo Rav Bar Shmuel. So Rav Bar Shmuel asked, V'nimra brach revius b'fnei atzma. So why not say it as a brach revius in its own right? Milo Tanan. Now, he's coming up with a creative suggestion that there's no need to abandon Havinenu, but incorporate it as a fourth bracha. Now, of course, you have to show a precedent that it lends itself to that. Milo Tanan. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Omer bracha revius b'fnei atzma. That Rabbi Akiva says that that's indeed his position. Rabbi Akiva maintains that not that we incorporate the way we do it, that we incorporate it into Atachonin, but he had it as a separate bracha, as a fourth bracha. So why not do it that way and fulfill Havdalah and still do Havinenu? Rabbi Elazar Omer b'Hodah. And Rabbi Elazar says that you say it in Hodah, which we took up at the beginning of the year. That's his question. So the Gemara answers, Atu kol hashana kula miavdinin k'Rabbi Akiva. But all year long, do we paskin like Rabbi Akiva? The hashtanami navid? That we should do it now? In other words, what he's saying is that's fine, but we don't paskin that way. So the Gemara says, kol hashana kula maitamalo avdinin k'Rabbi Akiva. Tamni sari tikun teshasri teshasar lo tikun. In other words, basically, because we have 18 blessings, not 19. That's the reason he comes back at him. In other words, he's trying to say that there's a different situation, and that is that we can paskin like Rabbi Akiva over here, because all year long there's a reason why we don't do it, and that's because you have the number of brachos are fixed and we don't want to add. So the Gemara answers him and says that Hachanami Sheva Tikun Tamni Lo Tikun. Here too, same thing. They were masakein seven. In other words, Havinenu would be a tefillah with seven brachos, the first three and the last three, and then you have the middle one, which incorporates all of the requests, so that's Sheva. Asa Tamni Lo Tikun. So then you'd have the same problem. Okay, fine. Let's continue. Maskef lo Marzutra. But Marzutra asked a different question. In other words, he concedes that you don't have any right to include it, insert it as a separate bracha, because there's a fixed number of brachos. And just like there's a fixed number of brachos in Shmona Esrei, the full Shmona Esrei, here too, there's a fixed number of brachos in the Havinenu Tefillah. So you can't just make your additions. Anyways, but he asks a different question. This seems to be a more challenging question. V'nichlala michlal Havinenu. Havinenu Hashem Elokeinu Hamavdil Mekodesh L'chol. And the Gemara says, Kasha. Basically, what he's saying is that why can't it be incorporated into the tefillah of Havinenu? How so? Connected to that part of Havinenu that corresponds to Atachonin. And he shows you how to do it. So the Gemara says, Kasha. Good question. All right, we're going to be taking up the Rabbeinu Yonah. That will be page 34 in our booklets. Now, where the lines get wider, Mipnei Shetzarach Lomar Havdalah B'chonin Hadas. Uvi Gemara Shoel Kamosha Omer Me'ein Kol Brachu Bracha Mishmona Esrei. So the Gemara asks that the Lama Eino Omer Gam Kei Me'ein Havdalah. So why, if you're going to do the Me'ein, the mini version, so why don't you insert a mini version of Havdalah? V'yispalel Havinenu, afilu b'moitzoi Shabbos, b'moitzoi Yom Tovim. V'nishar b'kushya. And the Gemara remained with the question. Didn't have an answer. Now, what's the practical consequences, though? See, now you have to make a decision. Because Shmuel made a statement, the Gemara made a challenge, and which would seem, according to the challenge, it would seem to be that it's okay. And in response to that, they said, good question. So where do you go from here? Does that mean that Shmuel has been refuted? Or no? So he says, v'afilu hachi milsa de Shmuel hilchasa, havi. That the nevertheless, that is, the mere fact that the Gemara left it with a question doesn't mean that Shmuel has been refuted. It's just a good question, but that's the halacha. So sometimes I can't answer every question. But still, that's the halacha. I mean, Shmuel, apparently, you'd have to say that Shmuel was aware of that. And nevertheless, you have that sometimes. You have to assume he was aware of that possibility and he rejected it. But we may not be ready to come up with the reason why, so it's a good question. But I'm still sticking, I mean, like the Rambam, Paskin, and there's a good question on that. But at the end of the day, I would say that, yeah, I'm sure the Rambam was aware of that question too. And still he paskin this way, so I may not understand what the answer is, but I have confidence that he did. V'ef shalom or tam b'dava. See, this is very interesting. The Rabbeinu Yonah now wants to give a reason, even though the Gemara did not give this reason. D'mishim hachi lo tiknu me'ein havdala. That this is the reason why they were not masakein ein me'ein havdala. Mipnei shehavdala ein abracha b'fnei atzma. Because Havdalah is not a bracha in its own right. Ela she'anu kol lemosa bebirkas atachone. But rather, we include it in the bracha of atachone. V'im hayo omer me'ein Havdalah, and if they were to say me'ein Havdalah, hayo nira she'havdalah hi bracha b'fnei atzma. Then it would appear that Havdalah is a bracha b'fnei atzma. Kiven she'eskinu me'ein Havdalah. Because then you would say that they were masakein ein me'ein Havdalah. Kamo she'tiknu me'ein she'ar brachos. Just like they ordained the mini version of the other brachos. Alright, so we're going further a little bit in the Gemara. Because this discussion continues about those times when you can't say Havinenu. Amar Rav Bibi Bar Abaya. Again, all year long a person can daven Havinenu, chutz mimos hagshamim, with the exception of the rainy season. You have to say the same talamot levracha. Maskefla marzutra. Well, first of all, does he agree with Shmuel? It doesn't seem to be in agreement with Shmuel. Why didn't Shmuel incorporate this point? Well, Rav Bibi Bar Abaya and Shmuel both seem to agree that you could say Havinenu, but there are times when you can't say it. Shmuel said you can't say it on Motzoi Shabbos and Yom Tov, but that was it. He didn't seem to have a problem with Mosak Shamim. But Rav Bibi Bar Abaya, well, he doesn't mention... Interestingly enough, he doesn't mention about Mitzvah Shabbos and Yom Tov, but he does have a problem with Yemos HaGshamim. Maskevla Marzutra, v'nichlala, nichlal, v'dashneinu b'nos artzecha, v'sein talamata. So, he suggests the same approach. That is, let's include it. Let's incorporate it. Now, you'd expect, at this point, the same answer. The answer should have been Kasha. However, the Gemara has a different answer. So the Gemara says, Asi Latrudi. That he can become distracted. Ihachi, the Gemara says, Havdalah b'chonin adas, Nami Asi Latrudi. So if that's the case, saying Havdalah and Chonin Adas also can lead to distraction. And plain shot is that you're in the habit of saying something, and then you add something which you don't normally say.
Right.
So it throws you off. I'll see you later today. It'll throw you off.
Okay.
You could say that that's true, but once you get in the habit of saying it, you say it for a few months. It's a long time. The same Talmud Matl of Racha.
Plus, you don't say that Shema Esrei.
When the Gemara asks from Havdalah, it's not talking about in Havinenu. Because we just got finished saying you don't say it in Havinenu. So it must be saying, but one second. Normally in Shema Esrei, you say Havdalah. And we're not concerned with the Asila Trudy. But why couldn't it ask from the same Talmud Matl of Racha Shema Esrei? Because Amri say Hasam Kivan the Ashi B'Tchilas Slosa. There, since it comes at the beginning of the Tvila, Lo Matrid, he won't get distracted. He won't get confused. Hacha Kivan the Ashi B'Emtet Slosa Matrid. That is to say, for whatever reason, at this point in time, we have to accept that the Gemara holds that the chances of getting confused are not so big at the beginning, when you first start out. But once you're in the middle, then it's easier to get confused. Okay? So then so it removed the question of Havdalah. But then why didn't it go to the next step and say, well, what about the Birkas Hashem? That's in the middle, and we're not concerned. Well, why doesn't that even come up? Then, Maskev L'Ravashi. So Ravashi asked the question, V'nimra b'shamei tefillah. He should incorporate it in shamei tefillah. He means, if you take a look above, where it gives you the formula for Havinenu, so it says, Terem nikra atasana. That's really Shema Kolenu. He doesn't mean, though, once you say Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomei Tefillah, then that's the siyum of the bracha. You can't put a request in over there. That's not what he means by Shomei Tefillah. He means that which corresponds to Shomei Tefillah, which is Terem Nikra Atasana. The Amar Rav Tanchom, Amar Rav Asi, because Rav Tanchom said the name Rav Asi, Ta, Velo Hiske Gvurus Kishamim, B'tchiyas HaMesim. Machzirin also. If he left out Mashiv Gevurus Kesham is Mashiv Baruch Mordei Geshem in Tchias HaMesim, so he has to go back to the beginning. She'elah b'Birkas Hashanim, but if he forgot to say She'elah in Birkas Hashanim, ain't Machzirin also. He doesn't have to go back. M'nei she'yachol la'omra b'Shomei Tefillah, because he could say it in Shomei Tefillah. V'avdala b'Chonin Adas ain't Machzirin also, and Avdala in Chonin Adas. Ain machzirin also mibnei sheyachol omra ala kos. So the Gemara answers Ta shani. Ta is different. It's very, very interesting. In the Gemara's treatment of Shmuel, it brings up the question is raised about incorporating it, and it merely leaves it as a question. Doesn't have an answer. What about the issue of Tirda? What about Asi Latrudi? The Gemara didn't give that answer. Well, we should be able to figure it out. I mean, you could say that they couldn't give that answer because the Gemara then says that since it's the first bracha. In the second Gemara, Amri Hasam Kivan the Ashi B'Tchilas Slosa Lo Matrid. The Gemara says that since it comes at the beginning of the Tefillah, he's not going to get confused. But why did the Gemara then say Kasha? Why didn't it give that answer in the first Gemara, the Gemara of Shmuel? Just to summarize, the Gemara pertaining to Shmuel said you can't the halacha is you can't do it on Matzah Shabbos until Yom because of Avdalah. And the Gemara asked, well, why don't you incorporate it into Havinenu? And the Gemara just said Kasha, didn't have an answer. Now, the second Gemara, talking about She'ela, asks a similar question. Why don't you incorporate it into Havinenu? And the Gemara says, Asi Litrude. Now, first, why didn't the first Gemara bring up the issue of Asi L'Trudy? Instead of saying Kasha, should have said no. The reason he can't do it is because of Asi L'Trudy. Now, the second Gemara, when it takes up the issue of Havdal and Chon Hadas on the regular Shmon Esrei level, says that it's not a problem of Asi L'Trudy because it's the first Bracha. And the first Bracha, he won't make a mistake. So why wasn't that issue brought up in the first? Well, why isn't that sufficient reason? If that's the case, that since it's the first bracha, he's lo asi l'trudei, so why, and then again, the question comes back, so why can't he do Havdalah in Havinenu? Incorporated in the first bracha. And if you ask, what about asi l'trudei, the answer is that we're not afraid, because it's the first bracha. In terms of what Rabbeinu Yonah said, that becomes problematical now, in light of the Gemara. Because the Gemara doesn't say that. Getting back to what Rabbeinu Yonah said now, let's take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Getting back to Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah's, let's elucidate. What was the reason of Rabbeinu Yonah? Put it in your own words. Basically, what he seems to be saying is that there's a significant difference between the regular Shmon Esrei and Havinenu. And the regular Shmon Esrei, each bakasha is the subject matter of a bracha in terms of the middle brachos. Now, you have a right to incorporate, since, as we said, every bakasha, so it means that each bakasha is the subject matter of a bracha, and the bracha contains the request, but there's an elaboration. So, provided that the elaboration is related to the subject matter, so you can incorporate it. As we've shown, Havdalah is related to Das, and Sein Talamot Levrach is related to Birkas Hashanim. But what's the Havinenu? Havinenu is, you're not making the request in terms of a bracha. It's not a bracha b'fnei atzma. It's just stating the request. So therefore, there's no way to incorporate it. You can't incorporate it because the whole idea of incorporating presupposes a base. There's a base. The base is the bracha. So now I can incorporate things. But now I'm dispensing with bracha. So I'm just stating the request. Oh, so then that's not a request. There's no room for anything except requests. And since Havdalah doesn't constitute a request, it's basically brought in as an accident of a particular bracha, so there's no room for it in Havinenu. It wouldn't fit in. Another good question is, according to Shmuel, who says that you don't do it on Motzei Shabbos? But what do you mean you don't do it? What are you talking about? If it's a situation where the person can't concentrate, that's the halacha. So what's he supposed to do? And what's he supposed to do in that case? Not daven altogether? Since we paskin that you don't just, unless you're paskin, if you're paskining, like, see, I could see Shmuel's point if you're paskining like Rabbi Yoshua. In other words, if you say b'chol yom yom espalel havinenu, and then that means to say, provided you have a bit of a distraction. But as the Miri pointed out, Rabbi Yeshua's position is even if you can concentrate. So he said even though you're able to concentrate in the entire, still you have a right to do havinenu. If you're paskening like that, then Shmuel's point would be, but not on Motzei Shabbos, then you don't have a right to do it, because then that you have a chiyuv to incorporate Havdalah, and you can't incorporate it in havinenu. And you are on a level where you can focus. But if you paskin like Rabbi Akiva, if you paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that since you're distracted and so on and so forth, it basically means where you're not in a situation of kavana. So then what should he do on Motzei Shabbat? What's he supposed to do? I can't daven havinenu because, but then what's my alternative? I can't daven Shmon Esrei either. So what's he saying? So why, if that's the case, Is he saying that therefore, if you're going to say, he says that you do Shmona Esrei, but what if the person's in a situation where he can't do Shmona Esrei? Why don't we say, do the Havinenu, and you'll leave out the Havdalah. And so you'll do Havdalah, because the impression here is given that you can't do it at all. But why not though? Now, if the person can be Mechavein, if he's in a situation where he can concentrate for Shmon Esrei, so then if that's the case, but then he should daven Shmon Esrei anyways, because we said you're only allowed to daven Havinenu when you can't concentrate on the full Shmon Esrei. So it's kind of a Mamanashach situation in terms of the Psak of Shmuel. That is, if he's able to daven the full Shmon Esrei, then you don't need this reason. Then he shouldn't daven Havinenu anyways, because the halach is that then he can't daven Havinenu. Elamai will say that he can't daven he can't concentrate. And then he has a right to daven Havinenu, and Shmuel came to tell you, but he can't because of Havdalah. But then why not? Why not? Because then he'll wind up not davening altogether. So why doesn't he daven Havinenu and then do Havdalah Lakos? Yeah. We have a number of questions over here. It seems that there's a question on Rabbeinu Yonah from Rav Bibi Barabaya, because Rabbeinu Yonah said he ruled out the possibility of incorporating.
Whereas Rav Bibi wouldn't necessarily.
Rav Bibi didn't. He said it's because of Tirda, Asi Latrude. But why didn't he simply say that we can't do it? Yeah, so the first machlokus would be the machlokus, so to speak. We're making it like as if it was a machlokus between Mar Zutra and Shmuel. That is, Mar Zutra says you should be able to incorporate it into Havinenu, and Shmuel holds you cannot. The only thing is the Gemara didn't come up with a reason for why Shmuel holds you cannot, but Rabbeinu Yonah does. So we'll accept that. We'll assume that the Shmuel holds that you cannot do it because of the reason given by the Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, and Mar Zutra challenged that, so that would be the Machlokas. Then we'll take up, hopefully we'll try and take up the question about Shmuel that Adam raises. Why should he, what does it mean? Does he not daven because of this? Why should the inability to say Havdalah prevent him from davening altogether? Unless you're going to say, well, he has to daven the full Shmon Esrei. But if he has to daven the full Shmon Esrei, so then he can't do Havinenu anyways.
Right.
And take up the Meiri.